It is I, the quintessential stud muffin, Joel Gertner, and you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Christiane, DNA Knockout.
This is Lacey Von Erich.
I'm Al Snow.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Stampede Kid T.J. Wilson.
Everybody, this is good old J.R. Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You listen to me because you are listening to WrestleTalk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you WrestleTalk Radio.
Are you ready?
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE, TNA, and indie scene.
It's still real to me, damn it!
With your host, Tim Stein.
Hail to the king, baby.
You will bow to me,
Spud.
Let's face it. Most of you don't like me.
Will,
I am awesome. I do what I want, when I want.
Mace.
Everybody knows I'm perfect in every way.
And the Omega.
I'm half man, half amazing. I am better than you.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. As always, this is the be-all and all of the WTR Network, the Omega, bringing you into another edition of the show. And at the end of the episode, someone will be future endeavored. It will not be me, but it might be Mace.
Stand back. There's an unemployment check coming through.
It might be Spug.
Really? They're going to fire me? Really?
Again?
It might be Will, because his ass didn't show up. But the one safe bet might be Mr. Tim Stein. No, he's fired.
No, I'm just listening to Hurricane Helms music in the background, man. I mean, come on now. We've got to give the guy his due.
Hurricane what? Came through. It's dissipated.
The hurricane coming through. Here he comes. And there he goes. Oh, wait. There's a DUI coming through. There he goes. Oh, wait. There's the bank slip. We'll see you in TNA. Oh, music to my ears. I was going to rub it in the face of Spug and Tony O and Jersey Girl, only because Spug mouthed off last week.
We beat you the first time in 50 years.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed that last week, because it'll be the last time for the next 50 years. And I told you, it doesn't mean squat until you win the gold. Ah, Jersey Girl, because, oh, I read what you wrote last night in the chat room. You wanted to insult me. Well, too bad you missed your chance. Antonio, I read your Facebook post and it's trash in my country. I got one thing to say to you, Tony, and that's fuck you. Bragging rights owned yet once again by the awesome country of Canada. I'm not going to rub it in any more than I sort of have kind of did. I have to give kudos to the Spud guy. Congratulations for winning the silver medal, Team USA, by the way. Spud gave me a call literally not 5 minutes before the game was over today, and he congratulated me, not like, you know, like I was the game winning goal scorer or something like that, but he said congratulations on Canada winning the gold medal. Thought that was really cool, Spud.
Yeah, you know, I actually have some class.
Yes, a little bit. I'll give you that much, but I'm not going to say anything more than a little
bit. Unlike the Canadian woman sitting behind the American bench, I have class.
Oh, please, one person with one sign. You didn't hear us go into an uproar when we heard all of this noise coming out of the States when we won the World Series for the first, you know, the first time ever outside of American soil. I mean, come on. And, of course, Captain Kirk, that's right, Canada's own Bill Shatner at the closing ceremonies of the 2010 Winter Olympics. Now, is it just me, guys, or is it a coincidence that the Winter Olympics held in B.C., British Columbia, Canada, and the Olympic cauldron looks like a bong with those things running up the side of it look like joints propped up? You know what I mean?
Well, you know, it wasn't.
Snowboarders got to have something to do.
It was a Canadian the first time.
What are you trying to say, Spud?
It was a Canadian the first time snowboarding was held as an Olympic event that had their medal taken away because they tested positive for a performance enhancer.
And then they realized that, shit, the guy was smoking dope. We should have given him two medals for winning the gold.
Yeah, unless there is a really big Twinkie at the end of the run. That's not a performance enhancer.
No, I'm sorry.
He won the bronze. He didn't win the gold. Shaun White won the gold that year.
No, 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 no. Ross Rebliati won the gold medal, and they gave it back to him. They temporarily suspended the thing, but they said, yeah, all right, well, marijuana is not going to enhance your performance. You can have the fucking thing back. So, and that was 1998 in Nagano, Japan, as a matter of fact, that took place. But, yeah, anybody who says marijuana is a performance-enhancing drug has never smoked it. Oh, my God, it seems like it might be a pot-themed show tonight, which is kind of apropos, I think, guys. Cheech and Chong hosting Raw tomorrow.
Meh.
Meh. You guys don't think it's going to be any good. I'm looking forward to it. I want to see what they do, to see if they sneak anything in there and get away with it.
It'll be like Snoop Dogg.
It'll
be like Snoop Dogg's appearance. Fucking hell.
Okay, let's try this again, but one at a time. Mace, you first.
We saw what happened when Snoop Dogg hosted and they called it incense and all that other crap. They're going to do the exact same thing with Cheech and Chong.
There you go. Omega?
I'm sorry. PG-rated Cheech and Chong is not Cheech and Chong.
Okay.
It's just two out-of-work comedians.
Yeah, you might have a point there. And Spud, you were trying to say something too, man?
Isn't it like the 30th anniversary of Up in Smoke?
I have no idea. Is it?
I think it's the anniversary year of Up in Smoke. I think it's like the 25th or the 30th anniversary of that movie. So
I don't know, but Up in Smoke is definitely the quintessential Cheech and Chong movie. I mean, I've seen Up in Smoke, Nice Dreams, The Korsgan Brothers, which really sucked ass, by the way. But
all the quintessential stoner movie.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm
Labrador Man.
There we go. It was Jay and Silent Bob before Jay and Silent Bob. But I, you know, just one thing clips into mind. If you're planning on lighting up a blunt, guys, pay attention to this.
Get the fuck back, nigga, the cop.
Where do you get these things?
You don't know who that was, do you?
No.
That was Randy last night on CB Radio. Randy with a great big old fuck you in the chat room. Oh, that was sweet. Yeah, congratulations to the United States of America for winning all of the medals that they did. Congratulations to my country, Canada, for being the winningest country, because now that's like, you know, legally recognized or whatever, officially recognized by all the sports bodies involved with the Olympics around the entire world. Simply because we set a record. We've won the most gold medals of any country in the Winter Olympics since the Winter Olympics began. A grand total of 14 golds. That's an accomplishment in and of itself. And I got to salute the Canadian athletes. That's great. You know, the tag phrase for the 2010 Olympics was "own the podium," which was probably just a little bit ambitious when you think Canada came in third place in the medal hall. The tagline should have been "own the gold."
Well, I will congratulate the Canadians on winning the most golds with one caveat, with one of our athletes in the Olympics, I don't know, you might have heard of him. His name was Michael Phelps. He brought home 8.
Yeah.
So when you can do that, then you can talk. I mean, it is the Winter Olympics after all, Tim. Your country is pretty much inhabited by snow all year long.
I don't think Michael Phelps is going to win any swimming competitions at the Winter Olympics.
They could have the Polar Bear Club. You never know. You see how much pot that dude smokes? That's why he swims so fast. They just put a Subway sandwich at the end of the run. He's like, food.
Jeez. Meanwhile, I'm getting IM'd by the host of Wrestling News Live, who's re-debuting his show tomorrow night, guys, Trade Dog. He's asking for some WTR commercials. Isn't that
Talk
nice?
The Rock?
Talk to the producer.
Yeah, no, I don't think he wants one commercial 10 minutes long. He might put up with 10 commercials 1 minute long.
Does that mean I have to go and start recording some new ones?
That might be interesting. Meanwhile, I'm getting in trouble here. So anyway, yeah, the 2010 Olympics are in the books, and overall, you know, pretty good performance. Congratulations to all the athletes. Of course, it started off on a really bad note. Really bad note with the luge runner dying on the first day, slamming into one of the pillars. I don't know if anybody saw that, but it was that was really harsh. But
saw that. It was the first time they ever showed the footage like that, actually on the news and everything. Usually you get stills or something. This time we got the full footage.
Got the full video. It was on YouTube for a little while, but they pulled it down. You caught the right stuff. So you had to go to the CTV website to watch it. So,
it's back up on YouTube.
So, yeah. Well, I'm not surprised by that. But it was also, you know, the Olympics were also touched by the Latvian skier who crashed, broke a couple of ribs, punctured a lung, and got back into the race, the cross country, and she won a bronze medal with a punctured lung.
All right, that's balls right there. That's balls.
That's hardcore. That's hardcore.
That's hardcore. Dude, if I was in the crowd watching that, I'd just start chanting, holy shit, holy shit. Because really, to win a bronze with a punctured lung, I don't know if you've ever had a broken rib, but that hurts. To have a punctured lung and be a long-distance skier, that's hardcore.
That's definitely something. And it's just, hey, JJ Sexay from Sunday Night Showdown, and they go on during the pay-per-views. Everybody make sure you check them out, definitely. Thank you very much, JJ. I don't know if you watched the game, but knowing you and your wife, Mrs. Sexay, you had no choice. Of course, Boom Boom, very partial to the great sport of hockey, and I'm sure she forced JJ to endure it. So.
Hey, he had a choice. He could either watch it with her, or he sleeps on the couch. We all know this.
So, but yeah, no, I was really happy with the Olympics, and all goofing around aside, it was, you know, the rivalry that was going on between two countries. I have to admit that I enjoyed. I did enjoy that. That was a lot of fun. And if you're wondering, why the hell are we talking Olympics? Well, first off, they just wrapped up. But secondly, the Olympics has a minor tie-in to a house show that took place today for the WWE. Guys, did you hear about this? Chris Jericho threatening to not show up if they didn't put a TV in his dressing room.
A Canadian wanting to watch...
Well, there's more than just him being a Canadian wanting to watch the gold medal game, Mace. You might not know this, but... because, you know, you live in Australia and chase kangaroos for fun. But Chris Jericho, real last name Irvine, is the son of a very famous hockey player.
And yeah, despite what you might think, Tim, I do read books, and Jericho's book was one of them.
So there you go.
In WoW Talk, Tim, you just got pwned.
Ugh. Yeah, well, we pwned the podium, so that's all that matters. At least the gold medal. But I thought that was interesting. Rock told me that earlier this afternoon.
but we might as well delve into a little bit of rock and roll wrestling talk. Why don't we start off with the future endeavored list, guys? WWE kills WWECW, turns it into something called NXT, and it was inevitable. You knew that releases were coming because they didn't have a third show to basically to have all of these, if you'll excuse me, secondary wrestlers and stuff hanging around. So the future endeavored list, the latest victims, Maria, the Hurricane, Charlie Haas, Paul Burchill, and Scott Armstrong. And I can understand some of the wrestlers. Maria, I don't get it. I don't know why they released her, but we'll talk about that in a sec. We've got a caller. Hey, everybody. Our phone lines are open, in case you didn't realize that. 888-357-9876, option one. Caller, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hello, Tim. It's Lisa, a.k.a. Miss Destiny. Congratulations on winning the men's hockey gold medal.
Well, thank you very much, Miss Destiny. Did you watch the game today?
Yeah, I got a little bit bummed out because I kind of woke up from a nap in the middle of the second period, but I did get to see the Canadians win the gold, and even though I'm a little disappointed that the Americans didn't win, it's, in my opinion, the best team will win no matter what country's flag is flown.
Well, I'll agree with you on that one. And like I was saying, congratulations to the United States. You know, they put the ice straight to a very, very good team. The first thing they did was put Burke in charge as general manager. He brought a lot of Canadian to the American team. And I'm talking about, like, strategy and the hockey playing and stuff. And it was they played a very Canadian hockey game. So thank you very much for the call, Miss Destiny. Appreciate it.
And also... Oh. And I did want to at least say that I am too shocked that Maria got released. I am just very perplexed on why they would eliminate such an awesome, talented, and very smart, sexy, and powerful diva. And plus, she's got an album coming out in 2 months, so why are they releasing her? I just don't get it.
Yeah, well, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but we're definitely going to be taking a look at it. But we got to move on. We got a big bunch of stuff we got to get through tonight. Thanks for calling, Miss Destiny. Really appreciate it. And I guess she's gone. But yeah, you know, guys, what are your thoughts on the releases? Maria, Hurricane, Charlie Haas, Paul Burchill, and the referee, Scott Armstrong.
How many? Thank God they got rid of Scott Armstrong. I have never in my life witnessed a referee who could kill the pace of a match.
Really?
Go back a few months ago during some of those good matches that Regal and Christian put on. The referee was Scott Armstrong. The matches were great until Armstrong decided to count.
Did he forget that you came after one and before three?
No, they're just the most anticlimactic counts I have ever witnessed in my life.
One.
Here, I honestly don't pay attention to referees that much. Is he one of those that just kind of lays there and slaps the mat when he knows it's not the finish and then gets really into it when he knows it is?
He doesn't even get into it when he knows it's the finish. It's just all right, normally there's a good pace between the 1, 2, 3. And the fans could get into it. And when he counts, there's just nothing. There's no emphasis. There's no feeling like, all right, this may be the one. No, it's just 1, 2. Oh, it's 2. I just, oh, fuck him. Good riddance.
Okay. Anybody surprised with Charlie Haas being let go?
Not really. I mean, what have they done with him? I mean,
well, here's about Charlie Haas. So just to interject here for a second. Sorry to cut you off, Mega, but we'll go straight back to you. He asked for his release like a couple of months ago. WWE said no. And basically they were paying him to stay at home, sit on the couch, so he wouldn't jump to TNA. Finally, now they release him. What's up with that?
Omega.
Well, obvious. Well, what I was going to say before, and that kind of plays in. He's a really talented wrestler, and I think that he's really one of the more underutilized guys that got fired in this time around. And I don't blame WWE. I mean, you know, if I didn't have any idea what to do with them, I'd probably pay to have him sit at home too, just until I could think of something. And I obviously completely failed to do so.
Okay. Anybody else have any thoughts and opinions on Charlie Haas?
Obviously, they weren't going to pair him back up with Shelton Benjamin again because.
Okay, I'm sure that's Spud talking, but we can't hear you. Talking into a microphone?
Oh, I had it up by my ear because I was taking a bite of my burrito earlier and didn't know if I had my mic muted or not.
Yeah, and I'd hate to be your wife later on.
But anyway, obviously, they're not going to pair him back up with Shelton Benjamin because that would mean they'd be successful again. And Lord knows, we can't have a successful black man in our company.
Wow. It's funny because it's true.
No, they did fire Booker T pretty quick.
Yeah. Second of all, when you pay him to sit around and do nothing, that means you're afraid of his talent being utilized properly by the other company, in which TNA failed to do when he was there, too. So you're just paying a man to pay him. I wish Vince would pay me to pay me. I mean, I did give them the Mania Madness idea, after all. I'm not going to come off of that, by the way.
Okay, point taken. Mace, you got anything to say?
I'm just looking forward to seeing what he can do in TNA when he eventually goes there.
So, is everybody of the consensus he's going to wind up in TNA in, like, 90 days?
And at least for a month or two.
Yeah.
It's a pity they can't get him for the X Division pay-per-view.
Well, the way I see it, isn't he on a veterans deal, or is that the Hurricane on a veterans contract? Is one of these guys who were released have a 45-day no-compete clause, not a 90-day, and I can't remember for the life of me which one it is.
I think it was Haas. All right, don't quote me on that. I think it was Haas. I'm not sure.
It could be Haas, but I'm sort of leaning towards Shane Helms. What we can do is take a look at that during the first break. Speaking of which, coming up in just a little bit, everybody, we're going to have the host of Wrestling News Live. The Trey Dog is going to be joining us a little bit later on this evening. So, you know, stick around for that. It is Gregory Helms, confirmed by J.J. Sykes. That's exactly what I thought it was. I was leaning towards that. I wasn't really sure. Looks like my research is done. So, there you go. Hurricane, 45 days from now, can show up in TNA on Monday and come up with some other superhero gimmick because the Hurricane trademark.
A tornado.
Maybe he'll just go back to being plain old Shane Helms.
No, well, I know the comic books these days. He'll become the Cyclone, and he'll be in black now instead of green.
Well, I don't know. Was that Will who said tornado?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I can just see it. They'll call him the White Tornado and put him up against... Wait a minute. Who's in TNA?
Black Machismo.
Anyway, yeah,
in Black Machismo.
Damn
yeah.
You, Omega, I was going to say that.
Well, it's Hulk, dude, and it'll be some kind of black on white reverse thing where everybody's going to be cheering for the Pope.
Well, they just hired they just hired Shannon Moore, so we've got 2/3 of 3 count.
Yeah, they need
a new Suicide.
Yeah, they just need Evans.
There'll be plenty of Suicides if they put 3 count back together.
Oh.
As long as it results in Tank Abbott coming back and dancing, I don't care.
There you go. Now, the one thing guaranteed to make sure TNA skyrockets in the ratings is putting 3 count back together and bringing Tank Abbott into to do the robot, you know.
To be fair, is it any worse than some of the other ideas TNA has been doing?
Well, now don't be completely shooting on TNA. They're actually doing some stuff right, and I have to admit, you know, the last couple of weeks I haven't been able to watch all the shows because I was more focused on the sports going on. That's just what I do. Who I am, but
everybody's saying TNA going live Mondays head-to-head against Raw is a mistake. I think going at the exact same time is the mistake. They should have, they should start 1 hour before Raw on Mondays.
Yeah.
And they could wind up doing a 2.5 until Raw starts, and then it drops down to 1.5, which would make their overall rating a 2, which would look absolutely awesome. Right?
Yeah, but you gotta remember, Eric Bischoff's still on the time warp. He still thinks it's, what, 96, 97 all over again.
Yeah. So, yeah, and JJ points this out in the chat room. I, said this to Rock. Rock, was this yesterday that you and I were talking about? No, it was Friday. I heard from a, semi-reliable source that, and JJ pointed out, the rumored next release will be Matt Hardy. And the rumor that I heard, I don't know if you heard it, JJ.
Finally!
Matt Hardy was, the rumor states that Matt Hardy was, he requested the release.
He was,
he's not being released arbitrarily, you know, future endeavored by the WWE. He asked to be let go. And, if that happens, you know that, boom. He's going to be going to TNA. They got to do something to fill in the Hardy gap while Jeff's in prison.
Two things: we always knew that Hardy was going to be kicked off at some point, whether he asked for his release or he gets released, one or the other. We knew his days were numbered, and we've been counting down for months.
Yeah,
and like you said, he's going to. He's going to fill a good role in TNA where he might actually be able to, I don't know, wrestle on a decent card for once instead of dancing around with the Great Khali.
Yeah, there you go. That's always possible. Who knows, right?
As Rock says, actually wins a match.
Yeah. Okay, so aside from Matt Hardy, because of the rumor, do you think there's going to be any more releases? And if so, who would you predict would be the next release, Will?
Vladimir Kozlov.
Vladimir Kozlov. Is there a reason why you predicted him?
Because he's so much safer off our TVs.
Okay. Omega, predict.
I'm trying to think of who else has been woefully underused and absolutely vacant on WWE TV, even though they're still getting paid. The one that comes to mind is is Curt Hawkins still on the payroll?
Yep. FCW.
He's gone.
Okay. Spug.
I think he's burritoing again.
He could. So, well, he burritos. Mace, you predict.
I'm going to give you 3. Byron Saxton, Tony Atlas, and what's his face? The guy that had the talk show that we don't give a shit about.
Washington.
There you go. So those 3 all at one shot.
Okay, have you got a problem with the black guys, Mace? You're just releasing them willy-nilly.
Okay, well you think about it. They've kicked
doing the
Byron
whitewash here.
Paxton off commentary. So what are they going to do with him? Absolutely nothing. Abraham Washington was boring as batshit, and the only reason Tony Atlas was still around was because he was going hur, hur, and actually making that segment worth giving a tiny bit of shit about.
I can't wait until Quick Hits, man. I got some questions for you tonight.
Oh, great.
Don't forget, everybody, Cheech and Chong hosting Raw tomorrow night. So that should give you a bit of a clue as to what the Quick Hits are going to sort of...
Up in smoke, that's where my money goes. Sorry.
So, oh, yeah.
The second you mentioned that, I'm getting the opening song in my head again. It goes to show how many times I've watched it.
And JJ in the chat room saying, Tiger Raj Singh signed to WWE Developmental, will be reporting to SCW next month. Yeah, I did hear that. And, when I saw that, I was surprised on a couple of levels for a couple of different reasons, but, pleasantly so. And I'm just going to say congratulations to Tiger Raj Singh, who was one half or one third, if you want to look at it, of Miami Vice in the old Stampede Wrestling, and then with the Furry Wrestling Alliance, I think it's called, PWA out of Edmonton. They do a show once a month here in Calgary. Karachi Vice. So, yeah, so congratulations to him. Not that he listens or anything like that, but in case he hears it. So the releases that they've made so far, guys, were any of them a mistake?
Austin Burchill are going to be mistakes. You know, the three guys that have a lot of potential. So they'd be mistakes. Yeah. Maria would make a good interviewer in TNA.
Yeah. I think,
or train her up and actually get her in the ring. Whatever.
Okay. Sorry, Omega, your turn.
I thought almost the whole round of it was mistakes, because Maria, I don't see why you fire her when there are so many more, even far more useless divas just hanging around doing nothing but having tits. I don't.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
There's anything wrong with that. I just, you know. I would prefer one that actually looks interesting and is interesting, as opposed to someone who just has big tits.
Very good.
Real quick, are any of the Playboy cover girls from the WWE still employed?
No, Sable's married to Brock Lesnar. Lita's not there. China's not there. Tori Wilson. Chrissy Hemme.
Yeah, Lita never did Playboy, but there's a Playboy coming
up.
Well,
you see her so often that way, I'm sure you could mistake it.
Well, there you go. Yeah, you know, all you got to do is watch the replays of that Rated R celebration with her and Edge in the middle of the ring. Who needs Playboy? Or the Playboy champ?
And now Maria's gone, and Maria was in Playboy.
Yep.
Yeah, there's supposed to be another WWE diva appearing in Playboy.
And she will be fired in 6 to 8 months.
Yeah,
there you go. Anyway, can I finish?
Yes, please finish.
I thought, okay, like I said, Haas was a wasted potential. He's a great wrestler. They just never had any idea for him. They had an idea for Burchill. Burchill was one of the most entertaining things on SmackDown when he was doing the pirate thing. And I wish he was still doing that. It's one thing that WWE completely lost sight of, and that's just gimmicks that are just meant for fun. You know, and that's what Hurricane is. That's what Burchill used to be. He needed to stick to that. And they just needed to do that properly. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. Well, with all of that said, we got a little bit more that we're going to be talking about. Don't forget, everybody, Trey Dog will be joining us a little bit later on this evening, so you want to stick around for that. The toll-free, that's right, we're paying the dime on this freight, 888-357-9876, option number one to talk to us and get your opinions across, take a shot at whatever you want. We're going to take our first quick little timeout here of the evening. Everybody, watch your Ustream players during the break. That's all I'm going to tell you. We'll be back right after this. I need the remedy, just to hold the wood, be a cheer for me. I can't keep going on this way.
I'm not a lumberjack or a fur trader, and I don't live in an igloo or eat blubber or own a dog sled, and I don't know Jimmy, Sally, or Susie from Canada, although I'm certain they're really, really nice. I have a prime minister, not a president. I speak English and French, not American, and I pronounce it about, not a boot. I can proudly sew my country's flag on my backpack. I believe in peacekeeping, not policing. Diversity, not assimilation, and that the beaver is a truly proud and noble animal. A toque is a hat, a Chesterfield is a coat, and it is pronounced Zed, not Z. Zed. Canada is the
largest landmass, the first nation of hockey, and the best part of North America! My name is Joe, and I am Canadian!
Thank you.
I hear voices in my head, they counsel me, they understand, they talk to me.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present. Such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling,
www.audiowrestling.com,
and check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling,
keeping you tuned in
since 1996.
Hey guys, Maverick here.
Professional. Realist.
Genius. You know, I've been hearing what those pricks on WTR have said about me, and you know what? I think it's out of jealousy that I've ran a clean show for as long as I have.
I'm basically giving them free publicity off of the internet, and all I get is...
Buckman.
Buckman!
Oh well, the hell with it. If you want an opinion that's realistic without so many four-letter words, then tune in to Running the Ropes. Every Friday, right here, exclusively on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You see that? That's called professionalism, bitches.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kinda did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of this.
Oh my god, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
This is Mace, the man who cannot cut a promo to save his life. Come check me out on Otaku Talk Live, where I geek it up with Spug and Omega. Tuesdays, 11 p.m, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now maybe the bastards have put me on the opening.
Welcome back to Rust Talk Radio WTR Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Rev Theory, light it up, bringing us in. And I'll tell you, I love that song. That is just a great tune, Rev Theory, light it up. And that makes me wonder if The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels are going to be able to light it up yet one more time in WrestleMania 26, guys. What do you think, Will?
I think I need to be quicker on muting my mic.
Okay. What else do you think?
I think they can do it. I mean, we've seen what two 40-plus-year-old guys could do last year on WrestleMania, and now they're just adding more to it with the whole career versus streak, and just I'm already excited for it.
Okay, so there you go. Two guys, 40-plus years of age, actually tearing the roof down, you know, knocking the roof down, tearing the house down. And all I got to say as a 40-plus-year-old, ha, there you go. It gives me hope. Yes, it does. But seriously, Omega, do you think that they could come close to the match they had last year? Let's face it, we voted it match of the year. Most other places voted it match of the year. And not just all of these internet people, but some actually legitimate places, quote-unquote, that are on quote-unquote real radio recognized it as match of the year for 2009. Can they possibly live up to this potential hype?
I honestly don't think they can live up to the hype. Well, I think the match does have the potential to be on par, and knowing these two, they probably wouldn't go through with a match if they didn't think they could deliver one just as good as what we got last year. Yeah. That being said, the hype is just being built up a little too high for them. I have no doubt it's going to be a great match, but I think people are getting themselves a little too worked up over it.
Yeah. Mace, what do you see possibly happening that could turn this potentially epic match into a complete disaster?
Why do I have to be the negative one on this bit?
Because I think it's funny.
Well, I'm going to disappoint you, Tim, because I actually think that this has, like Omega says, you know, to be on par with last year's. And we all know that both of these guys will try and kill each other to deliver the best match they can. The only downside that I have with it is the stipulation of career versus streak. I think there needs to be something more because, okay, the streak's going to be on the line the second The Undertaker gets in the ring anyway. We know Shawn Michaels likes to take 6 to 8 months off after every WrestleMania so he can rehab his body after killing himself at WrestleMania. So we can basically see the direction that it's looking to go either way. I just think there needs to be something else added into it to sort of build it up higher than last year's because, you know, they might not be able to give us something better, but they're going to give us something on par. So they might have to rely on something like a gimmick to get that little bit of, well, to get it to live up to the hype, so to speak.
I see. Spug, what is your take on it?
Well, first of all, real wrestling radio shows like RTR, formerly on KJCC, don't really count as real wrestling radio shows now, do they, Tim?
I wasn't talking about RTR.
Second of all, Mace, I disagree with you saying that it needs a gimmick attached. I think what it needs attached is not necessarily the streak, because that's a given. If you beat Undertaker at WrestleMania, you're going to end the streak. Any Joe Schmo can do that. I think what needs to be attached to that is Undertaker's career. Do it like they did at WrestleMania 7 with Randy Savage versus Ultimate Warrior. Career versus career. I think that would make the match more interesting and give it the extra bit of oomph and hype that it deserves. And quite honestly, this match could, in fact, be better than last year's. Because if you've got two guys that know what they did last year, and what two guys better than Undertaker and Shawn Michaels, who know how to thrill a crowd and give that crowd what they want for the money that they paid for those tickets?
Yeah.
So when you've got this type of match coming into this particular event, and you've already got a basic outline of what they can do with last year's, I don't see any reason why this match shouldn't live up and exceed last year's hype and last year's expectations of this match. Of this particular matchup, anyway.
Was it Will or Omega who had something to interject there?
Well, that was me. That was because I kind of agree with Spook's idea. I mean, if it was career versus career, aside from upping the stakes, there's rumor that both of them are going to be taking time off after WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And if you put both of their careers up on the line, you're going to throw every smart mark out there completely off the track. Because right now, yeah, It's looking like it's going to be HBK's excuse for taking some time off. But if they do it both ways, then you have no idea what's going to happen.
Okay. Right. So,
plus why? It could boot, if they did career versus career, it could possibly boost the match's spot on the card from, say, I don't know, mid to close to semi-main to a possible main event match that they could have built the entire WrestleMania pay-per-view around.
Well, see, WrestleMania, your world title match should be your headline match. But last year, what, these guys were third match from the main event?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. And we've seen what happened in the rest of the card after they tore the house down. Everyone else just kind of phoned it in.
No, Will, it's not that they phoned it in. They didn't phone it in. Triple H didn't phone it in. John Cena didn't phone it in. What happens is when you have a match of that caliber and does those things to that crowd, it's really hard as a wrestler to follow that up and offer an answer to what Undertaker and Shawn Michaels did.
But given that, Spug, do you think it might be an idea, given that they know what both of these guys can do and what they can do to a crowd, wouldn't it be a smarter booking idea to move this match from what would probably be, again, third from main event to either a main or a semi-main spot?
I think it would be smart to move that to main event because we've seen it in years past that, you know, the whole main eventing WrestleMania for the title really doesn't mean you're main eventing. We've seen that match anywhere from as early as fourth to as late as seventh or eighth on the card when they were the higher numbered cards at a Mania. So, I don't... You could put Undertaker and Shawn in the main event and move the title. They've done it before.
So, where are you going to put this match on the card?
I'd main event it. Quite honestly, I would main event it. I would not put it anywhere lower than the main event slot. Because, to me, one, it does disservice to the match. Two, it does disservice to the individuals in the match. And three, it does a disservice to the rest of the people having to wrestle on that card, knowing what happened last year and having to follow up with that.
Okay. So would you call this the biggest match on the WrestleMania card?
I would. What do you think, Mace?
It's definitely the highest promoted one, but I'd just use it to split up the main events, to be honest, because if there's two guys on that roster that, you know, have the ability and the drive to try and either top the match or at least equal it, it's going to be Edge and Jericho. So I'd probably move them into a semi-main position, but like you said, you know, it might be a disservice to both guys and the match itself if you put it too low in the card.
Okay, now if I were booking it, I would make it the semi-main event, like you were saying, Mace, but I would follow it up with Jericho Edge.
So in other words, you're doing my booking, Tim.
Pretty much. When you look at the card as it is, as we see it right now, the only matchup that has the potential to actually be this, you know, the steal of the night, Dark Horse, even though it's miles beyond that, would be Edge versus Jericho. And those two have got to be considered the only two who could even, you know, could possibly upstage Taker versus Shawn Michaels. And I think it's extremely, extremely possible. Those two could put on a match every bit as good, if not better, than Taker HBK.
I don't think they could do better. I'm sure they'd be able to equal it at least.
Yeah, they'd do better than what I mean. They'd at least be able to keep the crowd better than the two main events last year did with Edge, Cena, Show, and Orton, Triple H.
Now, the thing about it is, if you have got it planned out that you were going to end WrestleMania with streak versus career, then what match do you put on before that? Do you do the WWE title match or do you do the world title match?
I'd put on Edge and Jericho. Let's be honest, Cena versus Batista is not going to be a match that's going to carry the crowd to a high point.
No, but my feeling is the saving grace in that will be the involvement of Vince McMahon and Bret Hart some way, somehow, some form, some shape. I know that we're headed towards some kind of hobbled, gimped up street fight between the two with the storyline Bret Hart having a broken leg, so he doesn't look all that bad when he, with all of his ring rust and stuff like that, not being able to take any shots. But, I see the involvement of those two guys to make it an entertaining match for the WWE title.
Oh, as I said a couple of months or a month ago, I really think it's going to be Cena versus Batista at Mania for the title. I didn't think it was going to be for the title at that point, but now it's obviously going to be for the title.
Yeah.
With Bret Hart in Cena's corner and McMahon in Batista's corner, and if Cena wins, he gets the title, and Bret gets 5 minutes alone in the ring with Vince McMahon.
There you go. Now, if Cena wins, don't you think they should put a stipulation in there that if Batista wins, then Vince gets a belt too, and if Cena wins, Bret Hart gets a belt too?
I don't know. I think that's going a little overboard. I think 5 minutes alone whooping Vince's ass might be good enough.
That would, as a Bret Hart fan, that would satisfy me. Just thinking about potential cheesiness. Come on, you guys. It's WWE. We know that they're famous for
look,
cheese.
Tim,
when don't
Tim,
expect.
We know that when, since let's not kid ourselves, people, especially if he gets Bret Hart in his corner, he's going to go over. That when, after Bret gets his 5 minutes with Vince and locks him in the sharpshooter and makes him tap out like a little bitch, Cena's going to raise Bret's hand, put the title on his shoulder, the big hurrah, the big whoop-de-doo ending to that type of match. But seriously, I don't want to see that be the end of the pay-per-view. As much as it would be a good moment for Bret, I know that we can all agree that there are four other guys in two other matches that deserve to end that pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah.
You think
yeah.
Bret would even want to hold that piece of shit title? That is one ugly-ass belt.
It's still shitting on
you
the
hold
w-
it for 10 seconds and then give it back to
Cena. No, that's okay. I got the winged eagle on my wall at home. I'll just go and, take it down after I get home to Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Thanks.
Well, I reckon you bring
real
stay
quick
with him and throw that belt down and give it to Cena.
And real quick, am I the only one who would rather have that moment of Vince tapping out to the sharpshooter and then the bell rings than just the moment of, all right, well, here's 5 minutes with Vince and then he's just tapping out and then 5 minutes, ooh, that's it?
I could see Vince getting in the ring, Bret coming in somehow with his busted up leg and all, knocking Vince down and having Bret locking on the sharpshooter while Cena locks in the STFU or whatever he wants to call it these days on Batista and have both guys tapping out at the same time.
Well, I'm gonna
you'd probably set the whole thing up to where the broken leg is just something that Cena staged so Vince would be able to book the match. Just so Vince was in a false sense of security.
Yeah, I love this idea that Rock just put in the production chat. The ultimate payback for the screw job. Lock Vince in the sharpshooter and then have Cena call for the bell. I'm just thinking, I could see that happening.
You'd have to milk it. I mean, if someone's calling for the bell, not right away. They let him sit there for a while.
Oh, no.
Vince has proven that he is one for self-deprecation when the time calls for it.
Oh, yeah. We've seen him wet his pants on the air.
Yeah, no, you have to you have
and
to give
blow him, both knees.
You have to give McMahon credit. He will take the ultimate bump for his own company when the storyline calls for it.
And Rock may be right. This is one of those storylines that indeed calls for it.
It's possible, definitely possible. I don't know how Brett's supposed to be locking on the sharpshooter with a busted leg, though.
I think Omega's idea is probably the correct one as far as where they're going to go with the storyline, is that it was something staged by Cena and Brett just to get Vince to agree to it, because really, you know, how are you gonna say no to somebody who's a gimp?
Yeah.
Not only that, but Brett locking on the sharpshooter to Vince is just the ultimate payoff to the last 12 years since the screw job.
Yeah, true. But
you do not pass that up at Mania.
Yeah, Rock's got another salient point. The reveal could happen as early as tomorrow. Brett comes into the ring, you know, and he's got the crutches and the legs all immobilized, and Vince comes out, and Vince, because Brett's got a broken leg, well, okay, Brett, you know, I said I wasn't going to do it, but I'll do it now. I'll take you on at WrestleMania. We'll have a good old-fashioned street fight. Brett says,
only problem with that is that Vince agreed to it just by Brett having a go. Brett came in, attacked Vince, and Vince called it off. If you're going to do the reveal, you do it at the end of the match at Mania. You don't do it beforehand because that gives Vince an out.
Just let me finish what I was saying here, okay? So Vince says tomorrow night, sure, let's do it. Brett produces papers, you know, the contract. Okay, put your name down there, sign it right there, and sign it right there, and I'll sign it here, Brett the Hitman Hart, and we're on. Boom. There.
Brett the Hitman Hart makes Brett sound retarded.
Ironclad contract, okay, and he signed. Yeah, but don't pull the reveal until you're at WrestleMania. Oh, well, it's just we lied. The leg's not really broken, by the way. Ha, ha, ha.
I can just see Vince's face when Brett drops the crutches or stands up out of the wheelchair and Vince just shits himself in the ring.
It won't be a wheelchair. Then we're just repeating the Linda spot.
Yeah. No, you see Vince do the theatrical swap.
See, that's, gulping. Yeah, that's why I said crutches, because I was like, wait, they did that at 17.
There you go.
Well, seventeen. We're at 26. It's been close to 10 years. Most wrestling fans should have forgotten it, if you believe Vince's thinking.
I'm sure Vince is a little bit suspicious of wheelchairs now.
Yeah. So we're gonna most likely find out what's happening tomorrow. We're coming up to the top of the hour, just about ready to take our next break of the evening. But before we, as we head out to commercial break, how many people called the phone number on the ambulance, on the back of the ambulance when Bret Hart was carted out of the ring a couple weeks ago? You know,
I don't make international calls.
Yeah, 222, quadruple 2. They had people calling them. Oh, how's Bret Hart? Is he okay? And they actually had to put out a statement. Don't call us. If you want to find out how Bret Hart's doing, call WWE. They actually had to, yeah.
I didn't realize that was an actual real phone number.
Yeah,
Ireland.
Really.
It seemed like
two,
a Hollywood two, phone number.
2222. Really?
It's one of those that they put on movies just so they don't have people calling up random people because they saw it in the movie.
Well, yeah, but the movie Hollywood uses 555 whatever. I mean, if you've seen The Last American Hero with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Last Action Hero. And I'm just saying, that's what it sounded like. I mean, it just sounds... You know, like, I never knew you could register, like, one single number as a phone number.
Yeah, really. I mean, you look at that number, and it's not, oh, I would have called that number. It's, oh, that's a fake number.
No, yeah, okay, what's your phone number? Well, just keep hitting 2. You'll get me eventually.
Yeah, just keep hit 2 10 times. I'll pick it up. But, or, yeah, 10 digits. So... It was, I found it kind of funny, but, Arnold Schwarzenegger in The Last Action Hero, thank you very much, Omega, explains that every phone number in the world uses 555 and they can get away with it because they use area codes, so, I don't know. But, yeah, kind of funny.
That being said, everybody stick around. We got the trade coming up right on the other side of this quick little timeout. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And we will launch Mania Madness. Stay tuned. What the hell are we talking about? You'll find out right on the other side of this little timeout. Every single Wednesday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, Fire on Ice, a brand new webcast based around the NHL's Calgary Flames. You set the topics and you lead the discussion.
Hadlick with sharp shoots. What a stop by Kiprasov. Rebound. Oh, an even better save. They score. Justin Boyd cutting the lead to two.
Jump into the play and you get to choose who winds up in the dumbass club. Fire on Ice, the weekly show about the Hawks team playing the coolest game on earth. Are you an avid tabletop gamer who doesn't have the time to sit and customize all the finer details in your miniatures? Then check out Burning River Model Works for everything you need to complete your tabletop miniature sets. Burning River Model Works specializes in custom bases, painting, and also miniature restoration service for all of your tabletop strategy games. Pricing varies depending on difficulty, along with the amount of time spent on the model or base. Shipping, as always, will be insured and sent to you via priority mail. For complete details, contact Drew by email at brmworks@yahoo.com or by telephone at 330-304-2025. Burning River Model Works. Custom miniature work for the avid tabletop strategy player.
If you run a webcast or have a podcast, audio blog, etc., and you need the occasional liner, sweeper, bumper, or intro, check out VeoLiners.com.
VeoLiners.com is a free service bringing the internet broadcasting community together. Membership is free, and you can log in anytime.
Simply post your script request and let another community member take it from there. It's that easy. Then come back and check your post and download the completed audio.
It's also a great site to add to your portfolio. Gain practical experience by helping your fellow members out and recording their requests.
Remember, it's 100% free to join and use.
VOLiners.com. Voiceovers, liners, sweepers, and bumpers for your broadcasts. Join today.
I'm former WWE superstar, ECW superstar. You name the initials with a W in it, superstar Al Snow, former trainer of Tough Enough, and just all-around playboy and get-about-town. I love Wrestle Talk Radio, and so should you.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the...
Drive!
back to TR Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And at this point in time, I'd like to bring on the one and only. Well, you know, he's the main guy for Wrestling News Live. We're looking at Wrestling News Live 2.0 debut after Raw tomorrow night. In that right, trade off.
Yeah, tomorrow night, the big night, man. It's been a busy day today. I have been working my ass off all day long.
So you figure that you'll get your requisite 15 listeners tomorrow night?
Yeah, I think we'll get one or two.
Yeah, I think that if you hit less than 50, somebody did something wrong as far as marketing goes. But that's just me, Sam. So what do you got coming on tomorrow night?
Well, tomorrow night, man, I think it's just, you know, back to business. I mean, we're gonna, you know, give you. Everybody keeps asking me what's you know behind door number one, and it's real simple. The same thing that made us 2-time show of the year. You know, we're gonna give you what you want. We're not gonna look down our noses at you and make you feel inappropriate if you have a different opinion. You know, it's all about the fans, and we're just gonna deliver the same kind of good content that we've delivered for the last 10-12 years.
Well, that sounds damn good to me. So, how much is it gonna cost me to listen to you tomorrow night?
I believe the key word is free.
Is that in capital letters?
Yes, it is.
So how's it feel to be back in the free zone, man?
Well, I tell you what, I was on Ministry of Slam this morning. It was this morning for me. It was late for those guys over in the UK. And they were like, so what's it like? And I said, it's kind of weird, you know. I mean, it's, you know, I've been off now for a couple months, and it's... You know, it's really weird. I got the butterflies. I got the, you know, what's going to happen feeling. You never know with live radio. Now we're starting from scratch. We're just glad that, you know, over the years we've built up a healthy enough fan base that, you know, every time I'm ready to hang it up, the fans bring me back out of retirement.
Kind of sort of like that line or that scene in Godfather 3. Every time I'm out, they pull me back in.
Yeah, I had a, you know, the thought had crossed my mind to hang it up and say, you know what, we had a good run. We did. And Brian came to me and said, hey, you know, I know you're, you know, having some issues right now with the show and everything that's going on, but would you be interested in hosting the awards this year? And I thought, yeah, I'd actually like to do that, you know, and maybe that'll be my retirement. Maybe I'll give my retirement speech at the Wrestling Radio Awards. Who in this business has had the opportunity to do that, you know?
Yeah,
I thought maybe I'll use that forum as my, you know, goodbye. And, you know, I talked to Tim and I talked to, you know, a few other people, Sir Rockin and some guys, and I said, you know, I don't know what I want to do yet. I'm, you know, still trying to figure things out. And, you know, it was one of those deals where there's enough wrestling radio shows out there that I've got a good relationship with that, you know, I could come on for 10, 15 minutes, pull a Dave Meltzer, and, you know, my wrestling media itch is scratched, you know. But then there's also that side of me that says, you know, I'm probably, no disrespect to anybody else, other than my current co-host, JJ Sexay, I'm probably the most competitive bastard in wrestling radio. And if I'm not number one, and if I'm not winning awards, then I'm not doing my job, and I'm not doing something right. And I thought to myself, you know, this is not the way I want to go out. I don't want somebody telling me it's time for me to go. I want to go on my own. And if I go now, then somebody's telling me that I'm done, and I'm not. So it just made sense. And then JJ came along and twisted my arm a little bit, not real hard, but a little bit, and we just decided to put this thing together and go with it.
Yeah, for the one or two people tuned in who might not realize any of this going on yet, your quote-unquote new co-host is none other than Sunday Night Showdown's very own JJ Sexay, who happens to be in the chat room tonight, by the way, Trey.
That's right.
Yeah, so I guess he's just riding along, just checking things up. A little bit of an off night for him because he ain't got much to do. You know, Team USA lost the gold medal to Team Canada, so I don't know.
Isn't that now? Correct me if I'm wrong.
What's that?
But didn't we beat you once?
Yeah, but it was
and
just.
So,
a
and you, you only beat us once.
Well, hang on now. The game that matters is the one that we won.
Well, that's fucked up. That's fucking Canadian thinking if I've ever fucking heard it in my life.
Well, hold up. That ain't Canadian thinking, man. You talk to the Olympic Organization Committee, which I do believe is international. It's got nothing to do with us, man. That's just the way format
I played 17 years of goddamn baseball. And now, every tournament I was in, if the tournament ended up that way, then we played again to settle it. There was no you beat us once and we beat you once and now we're better because we beat you later than the time you beat us. What?
Well, hey, now, hang on a second. No, it's like it's kind of like regular season versus the playoffs. You beat us once in the regular season, we beat you in the playoffs.
So the Olympics, there is no regular season.
Yeah, there is. It's no. called the preliminary round, Trey. Dude, I tried to argue the same thing you did to myself earlier. They beat us once, we beat them once. That's bullshit. No, we beat them in the preliminary round, they beat us in the medal round. And the medal round's what matters.
We should have a swirly medal, part silver, part gold.
There you go. Well, hey, you know what? I'm all for a rubber match. Let's have another game tomorrow night.
Well, let me go up to Canada and break Crosby's legs real quick.
Hey, well, hey, I need him to win the Stanley Cup for me again this year.
Only if I get to poke my fingers in Miller's eyes.
We can pull that whole Celtic Pride thing, the movie where they kidnapped the guy just so he can't play in the finals.
Yeah, there you go. Celtic Pride. Good movie.
Don't you touch Crosby. I need him to win another Stanley Cup for the Pittsburgh Penguins this year.
Well, I was watching a NASCAR race, and I flipped over to Facebook and saw somebody, or Twitter, and saw Jericho going off about Team Canada. So I thought, well, I'll go check out the hockey game. And
yeah.
Goddamn, that's a headache. That's why I don't watch that shit.
It's a headache? Why? How do you figure?
Following that goddamn little black puck on a white fucking screen is hard.
Well, that's when you turn down the contrast on your TV just tiny little bit so it's not so blinding.
See,
but it's so much easier to watch a bunch of different colored cars on a blacktop.
See, this Tim, is why rednecks like NASCAR and sophisticated people like hockey. Sophisticated people can have a beer or two and still follow the game. Rednecks can get hammered on a case and a half of Milwaukee's Beast Ice and be able to follow the large, brightly painted cars around a track for 4 hours.
I will say something funny about the NASCAR race today.
Yeah.
During the pre-race, they were going on and on and on and on and on about Kim Kardashian being live at the track and how this was a major, major move for NASCAR to get somebody of her, you know, celebrity status at the track as the Grand Master, and I'll be damned if it wasn't 30 laps in, that was the first fucking car in the wall.
Yeah, it was. Ugliest goddamn car I've ever seen.
It was pink with her picture on it, and I thought, wreck that motherfucker, get it out of here.
There you go. And they did that. Well, I got a Canadian equivalent, or a hockey equivalent of that one. Today, Robin Regier, who's the defenseman for the Calgary Flames NHL hockey team. Spud, you might get a chuckle out of this one. He tweeted on his Twitter account earlier today before the game started, I really hope the USA doesn't win. We don't need another hockey movie about the American team.
Yeah, no shit, right?
Yeah, because
miracles, no, but I believe in fucking fair play, and one versus one equals two, motherfucker, not three. That's what I believe.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry I'm laughing here. This is funny.
I love how all Canadians just bash on that movie as if, you know, that really didn't mean anything. Because you beat the Russians at the height of their power in 1972, too, and that was a big deal for y'all.
Yeah, the Summit Series where we took it 4-3 with one ending in a tie or something like that, I don't know.
I understand that you Canadians don't have a, you know, and I got into this argument with the Bam long, long ago when he was a co-host of the show, and it was, I believe, tells you how old we are and how old I am. I believe it was like we were coming out of Desert Storm or something like that. But we were comparing governments and militaries. This is long before 9/11.
Uh-huh.
And I thought to myself, you know, we were talking about terrorist attacks. How ironic this was so before 9/11 that we had this conversation. But I was like, you're only talking shit on the Americans because there's nothing worth a fuck for the terrorists to fuck up in Canada. Where are they going to fuck up? The Molson Brewery?
Oh, that's enough to go to World War.
Stu Hart's Dungeon? That's about the only two things in Canada that are known for anything, and they're both worthless as fuck, as far as I'm concerned.
Obviously haven't had Molson Canadian beer.
Well, and old the band would get all fired up, boy, talking Canadian shit. Your fucking police ride horses because nobody's fast enough to fucking get away from them.
Whoa. And I'm being nice to the Canadians tonight.
Come on now, we're not Poland.
What's the deal with your fucking mounted police? That's fucking gay.
That's show, man. They have really fast cars that they drive. They're like souped up Mustangs or something.
Well, that's, you know, better than the report that we got in the news the other day about the Oklahoma Highway Patrol. They're gonna go with all black cars now to save $175 a car, which in the long run will help them afford more cars at $175 a pop. What?
Okay.
Why don't you just fucking save cans that you pick up off the side of the road, you cheap fucking bastards?
Damn.
You know how much one of them Interceptor motors costs?
Yeah, but at $175 a pop, just think of how many cars they gotta paint black before they get their first one.
Well, you're talking the entire state. I guarantee you they have at least 300 or 400 cars in that fleet, if not more. Maybe closer to 1,000.
Probably. But, I mean, who cares? Come on, it's $175. The White House spends $2,000 on a light bulb.
Jeez. Yeah, what is this $2,000 on a light bulb, $5,000 on a hammer?
You really think they spend $2,000 on a light bulb?
No, they spend a ridiculous amount of money on stupid shit. I've seen the reports.
I know, but that money's tied into other shit.
It's 50 cents
for the light bulb. It's $1,500 or $1,900 or $99.50 for the chunk of depleted uranium that's going into the nuclear missile that's pointed from the White House lawn to Russia.
Might be pointed to Canada. They don't quit fucking with us.
They're going to beat us in the World Baseball Classic again, Trey, so I wouldn't.
Yeah, hockey's our game, and we're going to steal baseball from you next. So
stealing baseball, that's not happening.
Got to rag on Trey over baseball, man.
You can try and steal a base.
The day you guys take baseball from us, I'll be hanging from my ceiling fan.
Oh, man, is it going to be switched on? You're going to be spinning around or just hanging there like a pinata?
Well, I think you get the job done without the spin, but if the spin adds to the effect, why not?
There you go.
You know, We know that the Canadians can play hockey because it's their only fucking sport. I'd like to see the Canadians come down to the United States and play real fucking football.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
Don't even start because
play arena football on a 110-yard field, eh? Hey, we football players.
You're such a bonehead, Spudhead.
Come get hit, bitch.
You are a bonehead. Don't be fucking around when we throw rocks at each other and call it a game.
Well, let's, is there anything going on with wrestling?
Well, it's quiet couple of weeks, as you know, Trey, but, we were taking a look at Undertaker versus, Heartbreak Kid for, streak versus the career as a potential main event for 26. What do you think?
That's a tough one to call, man. I said early on that I hoped Shawn and Taker 1 would remain Shawn and Taker 1 because I had a singing suspicion that Taker would just, because he's Taker, make Shawn be his bitch for a second time.
Well.
But rumor has it Shawn Michaels has converted to Canadianism. And if he wins this time, then he wins the war outright because it's one versus one.
Okay, so that was was that what the hug with Bret Hart was all about? That season?
Yeah, Bret's the ambassador. You got to get a hug from Bret Hart to become a Canadian citizen. And so that was what it was. Sean just applying to show up on Raw the next night and claim himself the overall winner because by Canadian rules, one versus one equals three.
Oh, I'm sorry, but Sean, the feud tries to say that he's a naturalized Canadian. The guy who shoved our flag up his nose ain't getting across the border.
Maybe the guy needed to blow his nose, fuck.
He could have used his own pant cup for all I care.
You ever been in the car and sneezed and went, oh, fuck. Yeah, if I just had something to wipe my nose. You know, in that moment, you just don't think.
Well, yeah, that's why I carry the American flag in the seat beside me all the time.
That's all right. Just come my way.
Yeah, it's red, white, and green now.
Just don't let it hit the ground.
Because when I come after you, I won't even let you know I'm coming. I'm just going to open the door one day and knock you out and then drape the flag over you.
Yeah, okay, Rock, you didn't need to put the graphic up, you motherfucker.
Asshole.
Good times.
No, on the Sean Taker thing, man, this is a really, man, I'm just torn. I mean, a part of me that is the wrestling fan, the Shawn Michaels fan, says, man, I want Sean to, as JSK would say, get his comeuppance, you know. Yeah. But the wrestling guy in me that does a radio show knows that they're either saving that for a guy like Cena or an up-and-coming talent that will help propel them into stardom, or there could be a possibility of him actually winning, Taker winning, and the streak never being beaten.
I don't think they're going to do it with Sean simply because it's going to turn his career into the career ender. You know, after doing it to Flair, he goes off and does it to Undertaker.
The time to have done it has passed, unfortunately. The time to have done it was when Randy Orton was the Legend Killer. That really, I mean, I know Taker wasn't done, so timing-wise it must not have matched up, but to be honest with you, the guy that should have done it was Randy Orton, I mean, especially as young as he still is.
Yeah.
I've
the Legend Killer.
I've heard rumor repeatedly that it is, they want DiBiase to do it, to be the streak ender. Since it was DiBiase's dad who originally brought Taker in, so to speak, to the company, and that it's kind of a way for Undertaker to repay the favor is to put the son over. And I can understand the logic behind that, and we all know that when Taker retires and leaves, he's gonna lose, and the thing he's going to lose at is at WrestleMania, because it is an unwritten rule in the business, and anybody who has any amount of respect for the business follows it. When the star talent leaves the territory, the star talent goes out on their back, putting the new guy over.
Unless you're Bret Hart.
The only problem I can see with that is they have to make sure whoever does it is going to be that big. He has to be the next main eventer. If it's going to be DiBiase, great. Great for the kid. Absolutely outstanding. But that ending the streak is going to be the biggest push and is going to be the biggest rub of all time. Better than any title win at WrestleMania. Bigger than putting out any other star ever. If you end the streak, you better be something huge. Or else it's going to be completely wasted.
That's why I have a hard time thinking that Sean's going to pull it off. Dustin D-Man in the chat was saying that the streak should never be broken. That's something that the Taker will always be known for. Well, you got to put it in the thoughts of a free agent baseball player, you know, that has 1 year left on his contract and the trade deadline's coming up. The team that owns him, the WWE, if they trade that guy now, they can get something for him. If they wait till the end of the year when his contract is up, he's free to go sign with anybody else. Same thing with that streak. If he retires with that streak, then that's a mark that will just never be broken. But do you want to get some value out of it now and have one of your up-and-comers that you're going to put a lot of faith into go over. You know, I mean, get some mileage out of it for your company before this guy, quote-unquote, rides off into the sunset.
Well, what if Undertaker retires streak intact only to have WWE, and they've got this planned, like, extremely long range, WWE finds a way to bring him back a couple years later for, like, a six-month run and that culminates in WrestleMania, and then he loses, you know, that's when the streak ends. Can you do that?
Oh, I think Undertaker's the kind of guy that when he says goodbye, he's saying goodbye.
You don't think he'll ever come back?
I don't think so. I could see Shawn down the road a couple of years, you know, bringing him back for some special hoorah. But the Undertaker, I think when he's done, he's done. That's just my personal opinion.
I could probably see that.
Setting on fire ain't helping his longevity either.
Yeah, that's true. for those of you that may have missed it last week, it's probably all over YouTube. After getting pulled down at least once or twice, Undertaker actually getting burned during the ring entrance. When was that? Last weekend?
Yeah, they threw JR out of the building. He was trying to put barbecue sauce on him in the chamber, and they wouldn't let him get to him.
JR in the back room. Yeah, no, JR, you gotta go stand outside. Well, why is that? Because Undertaker's cooked.
I thought to myself when he came to the ring, I thought, boy, he's in an awfully big hurry just to get fucking locked in a cube.
Yeah, this fast you ever see Undertaker ever move in your entire life.
You know?
Yeah, I was watching that. I said, who the fuck lit a fire under his ass?
The pyro guy, obviously.
And JJ brings up a good point in the chat room. Taker will always be with the WWE. There's no doubt that he's never... There's no... What about TNA? He'll retire from the ring, and he'll take some time off, but he'll come back and be a major influence inside that company.
Oh, yeah, one way or the other. Even if it's just in the back, I don't see him being relegated to being a road agent.
See, the future is pretty bright for the WWE in the fact that eventually guys like Triple H and Shawn, I don't see Shawn doing it so much, but guys like Triple H and Undertaker, I can really see them taking a little time off and coming back to the business and, you know, being a major role on the booking team.
Yeah.
You know, they're so involved with it as it is now.
Well, my greatest hope for the WWE is that one day Triple H bitch smacks his wife and says, give me that goddamn thing. It takes the book away from her.
Yeah, but the sad thing is, when you break it all down, she's not the problem. Her and Michael Hayes are doing a fine job on SmackDown with what they're given.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you put the two of them, I mean, to compare it to you, you've got Stephanie and Michael Hayes eating off the McDonald's dollar value menu, and you got the Raw Riders at a Shoney's buffet fucking that shit up every Monday night. You know, it'd be nice to see what Stephanie and Hayes could do with the talent that's on the Raw roster.
Well, I really do think you're gonna see that the two quote unquote brands get put back together as one roster, because they're not going to be able to continue this for much longer.
Well, the problem they have is their television product. And then what I mean by that is Raw has a home on USA that embraces them, that welcomes them, that is a lot like Spike is with TNA. Hey, we know you're our flagship show. We know where our bread's buttered. Do what you got to do. Like an old boss told me in radio, don't ask me if you can do things, just do them and try not to get me in trouble. You know, try not to get the FCC called on me, but do what you got to do to shake the box up a little bit. You know,
it's amazing to hear that Canadian radio and American radio are pretty much exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, do what you got to do to get your listeners and your viewers, just don't get me in trouble. USA and Spike are the same way with their programs, you know, Raw and Impact. But it just seems like SmackDown's always struggled to find a home. Hell, I don't get SmackDown here. I have to watch a Ustream. And that's fucked up to say in a world where you've got so many cable systems, DirecTV and Dish Network, and yet we're still not in a place where you can get SmackDown on a regular basis. Come on, Vince.
Yeah, 200 channels and nothing on. He needs to definitely make some kind of a deal with a bigger cable network out there.
Oh, eventually, Vince is just going to start his own cable channel. And I don't mean the WWE 24/7. He's going to start his own, because there's going to come a day when he's going to be able to pull the ad revenue that he needs to be able to float that.
But you got to remember, not everybody's a wrestling fan in this world. So there's a lot more that aren't than are.
Sure, but even if you do it where you pay a monthly subscription fee through, you know, so you get the on-demand and, you know, it'd be like Showtime.
But then again, everybody's going to be in a place where they can pay, so SmackDown's going to be on the back burner, not getting near the viewership that Raw gets once again. The only way to fix this is for USA to step up and go, okay, look, we're successful on Mondays. We don't have anything but, you know, reruns on Fridays. Why not put SmackDown on USA also? I don't know why they don't do that. It just makes so much sense to have both shows on the same fucking channel. You know, but they don't do it. They want to, you know, spread their revenue around to three different networks. Bullshit. Put SmackDown on Friday nights on USA, and finally the show will get the respect and the viewership it deserves, even if it's still pre-taped.
Well, what about moving SmackDown back to Thursday? What would you think about doing that?
I think it'd be a better move for SmackDown because people go out on Friday nights.
Yeah, definitely.
I think if Impact can go live on Mondays, then there's no excuse for the SmackDown crew not to be live on Thursdays. Get rid of all spoiler shit.
Yeah, that's something I haven't been saying ever since it started being taped for every single show. As we know, back when it first started out, it was live, you know, and every week, and then it went every other week, and then it became completely taped.
I mean, 90% of your students, 90% of your adults, what night did they go out? Friday and Saturday.
Yep.
You know?
Which is not 90% of your potential audience right there.
When I had SmackDown, you know, I would watch it and then go out because I would never go out before 9 o'clock anyway. I'd be fucking hammered by 10:30.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, normal people.
Well, you see, up here in Canada, they show SmackDown on the Score, which is the same channel that shows Raw. We know where to go, when it's going to be on, and it's a national broadcast right across the entire country. And they play it twice. Now, I'm out in Mountain Standard Time here, so for me, it's 9:34 p.m. right now as we speak, 10:34 Central, which is Trey's time, and, of course, 11:34 Eastern, which is Rock's time, or Spug's time even. But they show SmackDown at 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, which is 8 Eastern. And then they show it again at 10 Mountain Time, which is midnight Eastern. And that allows me to come home from work if I'm working, sit down, have my dinner, and watch SmackDown. And then I can go out on Friday night.
Yeah.
So I'm not hurting either way, but I would still prefer to see SmackDown on a Thursday.
I would agree, my friend. I would agree 100%.
So, I think that would be a smart move. And yeah, you know, Vince should talk to USA and find out about getting SmackDown on USA. Don't know what the feasibility of that might be, but it definitely wouldn't hurt. That's for damn sure.
No, it would just make sense. But then again, that's why wrestling is wrestling. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. But talking about The Undertaker and Heartbreak Kid, we're expecting another off-the-hook match that could possibly potentially top last year's matchup. Do you see one match on the card that might wind up being just as good or at least can hold their own against this matchup?
Well, considering what we're getting in the championship matches, I think, and again, there's a part of me that says, these two guys can deliver when they have to. They'll pull out all the stops, that being Shawn and Taker.
Mm-hmm.
But another part of me says they're both a year older and they're both banged up worse going into this match than they've ever been before.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that chance of this match not living up to last year's. And if that's the case, then you're in trouble if you put that on last.
Okay.
I think in the way of the way I would do it to be safe, to cover my ass if I was the booking guy on the show, I would go Cena, Batista, then I would go right into Michaels and Undertaker, and I would close with Edge and Jericho.
That's pretty much the way I see it right there. Thinking Edge and Jericho is the only thing on the card for WrestleMania this year that has the potential to at least come close to what we are expecting with Taker Michael too.
I look at it like Jericho is going to be Jericho, and Edge is going to be the freshest guy on the roster in a match like that. He'll be up to speed by that time, hopefully. I just think smart booking to cover your ass for a just-in-case, Spaghetti-O, they weren't as good as last year. I honestly think they should go, you know, Batista, Cena, and then Shawn Taker, and then Jericho Edge, and they'd be safe.
You know, Shawn Michaels and Undertaker from WrestleMania 25 is on the Mania Madness tournament.
Yeah.
It is. As well as Shawn Michaels and Bret, Shawn Michaels and Rick, Randy Macho Man Savage, and Ultimate Warrior, WrestleMania 7.
Well, Spud, before you get any further in that, so Trey and everybody else listening knows exactly what you're talking about, why don't you explain to them exactly what's going on with WTR's Mania Madness? We now have...
I was getting there.
We now have the link live, and people can go and check it out and start voting as soon as we're done tonight. So why don't you take everybody through it?
At midnight. At midnight, they can start voting. On March 1st, because it's February 28th.
Yep.
On March 1st, live from our page, is Mania Madness. It is 64 of the greatest WrestleMania matches of all time. For your voting pleasure. And you get to vote on round one, starting on March 1st, and going through Saturday. Or Sunday, actually. What's Sunday, the 7th, the 8th? I can't remember. Sunday is the 7th. And then round 2 begins on March 8th, which is Monday. It will go like this until the weekend of WrestleMania on March 28th. At which time, on the Saturday pre-show before WrestleMania, we will have the Final Four. And you, the fans, will be able to vote in live time with us as we debate it and talk about the WrestleMania matches. Now, on WrestleMania, the day of WrestleMania, during the post show, we will have the greatest WrestleMania match of all time. And we will crown the WrestleMania winner, the Mania Madness winner, on March 28th. I know it's a horrible explanation, but I was trying to read it verbatim, but I guess I was a little fucked up when I typed it out.
There you go. So, where are we going to find this Mania Madness page?
www.wildtalkradio.com is right on the main page.
There you go. All you got to do is find the little tab there in the menu bar that says Mania Madness right at the top of the page, right underneath our Wild Talk Radio banner. Click on that, and then you'll be able to post your vote. You could also just go to www.wildtalkradio.com/Mania Madness. Just as we're about to head to our next break of, the evening, I just want to, remind everybody, Trey Dogg, Wrestling News Live version 2.0. Trey, you're re-debuting tomorrow night. What time are you going to be on?
11:30 Eastern, 10:30 Central. We'll, kick off the festivities tomorrow night, myself and JJ Sexy. And we know who's going to drop by from that side of the woods over in Canada where all his peeps are. You know, when you got a crew that rolls with JJ like he does, you never know who's going to stop by and be a part of the show. So you have that to look forward to. Also, a new band out now called Voodoo Vegas has offered to do a brand new Wrestling News Live intro theme, and they haven't got it completed yet. This just actually went down today. We are going to play their current single on the show tomorrow night and get you educated as to who the band is. They're going to be a part of the show quite a bit. We'll do that and just bring you the same quality Wrestling News Live program that you've gotten for the last 10, 12 years.
Now, I know it's not the apartment number anymore, but come on, you got to give us a C23, bitches.
No, now it's going to be an apartment 41, motherfuckers, but it used to be an apartment C23, bitches.
There you go. So everybody, Trey Dog and JJ Sexay, tomorrow night, Wrestling News Live, as soon as Raw is over and done with. Check them out, www.wrestlingnewslive.tk. Go and check it out now. They got forms up if you haven't joined. Join, bitches.
That's
anyway,
right.
And that being said, we're going to be coming right back. Talk little WWE NXT on the other side of this timeout. Thank you very much to the Trey Dog for joining us on this segment. Everybody, you're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back right after this.
Fuck a real good girl. I got the baddest bitch in the world. They say I'm cocky, and I say, what are they bragging, motherfucker, rip it back it up. They say I'm cocky, and I say, what are they bragging, motherfucker, rip it back it up.
Wild Talk Radio is sponsored by Tripology. Book your next trip with Tripology. If you're finding it's time to get away, you have an important upcoming business trip, or if it's last minute and you need to get there fast without any hassles, call Tripology today.
I'm sure.
If you're working too many hours and can't find the time to plan that badly needed vacation, then stress no longer. Tripology is here to help. Tripology will help you get to where you need to go, whether it's for an important business trip, a last-minute flight out to see a loved one, or that much-needed and overdue vacation. Now is the time to make Tripology your travel agent. Call Tripology toll-free at 1-866-289-9950 or log on to www.mytripology.com and plan your trip now.
This is a public service message from your friends at the Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday nights at midnight, the Wild Talk Radio Network presents Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, a show that has a reputation to sometimes take things a little too far with their use of vulgar language and explicit content. We here at the Wild Talk Radio Network are here to tell you that we will not stand for this any longer. We are going to make sure that Cigarette Butts and Bandanas cleans up its act. There will no longer be any use of vulgar language. There will be no more explicit content, and no one will be offended when they tune in to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Saturday nights, midnight Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you for your support, and continue to listen to the new and improved Cigarette Butts.
Screw that. Join us Saturday nights, where we will take things to the extreme, the only way we know how, with the no limits and uncensored nature of the one and only Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network becomes a place where anything goes. Prepare to be sinful. Thursdays, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
is Lacey Von Erich. You're listening to The Network, Tim Steinbilt, Wild Talk Radio.
I see your dirty face high behind your collar, but it's done in vain. Truth is hard to swallow, so you pray to God. Justify the way you live a lie, live a lie, live a lie. And you take your return.
Well, back up here, Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You know, that music that was used for coming back out of commercial. I used to like that song, but I have a hard time listening to it now, and I'm not going to go into detail as to why. But I will say that Rock knows, and if you want to find out why I'm having such a hard time listening to that song anymore, ask him. He'll tell you. Anyway, guys, WWE NXT basically debuted last Tuesday night. And, of course, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, you were able to follow along with thoughts and opinions and stuff like that, listening to Nick Anthony and Alan Wojcik on OWW Radio. But now we've got our two experts to basically break it down and tell us what was going on with the show and stuff like that. Mace, Will, you guys caught it. What'd you think? Tell us.
Experts. That's a laugh.
Well, when it comes down to stuff like that, the stuff that nobody wants to really watch, they turn to myself and Will.
Yeah.
WWE NXT. Oy vey. I'll start this off by, basically, if you want to get some ideas or full thoughts and ideas of what myself and Will have thought of the show in general, there are a couple of columns up on the Wild Talk Radio website. One of them is from the mind of Mace, which obviously is my one, and the other one is, I believe, Will McConnell's thoughts.
It's a title pending.
Yeah, it's about the same. Very creative, Will.
I know.
So where do we want to start this off with? Do we want to go straight into the Daniel Bryan Danielson talk, or do we want to actually try and give some of the other guys a bit more focus than they did on the actual program?
Well, we both know that the Miz Danielson thing will become the meat of this, so at least let's give the other guys a little rundown before we go into it.
See, this is why I hate trying to prepare myself. This is why target practice failed, because I'm never prepared.
Basically, the show starts off. The rumors made it sound like it would be like a brand new unveiling of Tough Enough with actual matches wrestled during the live shows. What we got instead was it was basically ECW with new faces and lots of internet hate. We're waiting to see what we get next week, the general idea seems to be you basically put these new guys out there with their pros every week, as close to live as you can get with pre-taped shows, and you just have them. There's none of that Tough Enough crap. They're doing it in front of the crowd. They're cutting their promos there. They're wrestling in front of the live crowd that the same SmackDown crowd. So these guys are getting the real WWE experience.
Yeah, well, that was one thing that sort of got to me with the whole sort of build up to NXT. They were saying, oh, it's going to be like Tough Enough. You'll get to see the pros coach these guys as they get brought up into the levels of WWE superstardom. Yet, it was, like you said, it was like ECW. It was just a bunch of matches with a couple of split screen bits where the pros say a quick 2 minutes on whoever they're coaching. I was expecting some actual coaching from these pros. Like, give me a backstage segment or something of before the tag match between Christian and Slater against Michael Trevor and Carlito. You know, give us something of the guys prepping up their rookies. You know, they're the first match out there for the entire show. They've basically got to try and set a benchmark for the show, yet the guys, when they got out there, it just seemed like another day at the office. I was expecting some sort of build-up.
Yeah, it really did just feel like, all right, here's the FCW roster, have fun. But, I mean, hopefully in the next few weeks, we did see sort of that coaching with the Miz Danielson stuff, but that was more just antagonization. But, you know, hopefully we do get that. We get to see these younger guys backstage with the whoever, with Matt Stryker trying to cut interviews, or the pros, you know, going over, you know, don't do this in the ring, do this instead. You know, just give it, at least pretend to give it the feel that these pros are actually trying to teach these rookies something instead of, all right, here's what we wrote for you, act like it's real.
Yeah, you brought up the FCW bit. To be honest, like, given the camera angles, it was very FCW-like. Like, you look at the promotion packages they had for the guys versus the camera angles and that they used during the show. They were basically trying to do FCW on a bigger budget. Personally, I mentioned this in the Sunday Night Showdown chat room while I was watching, that I would have been just as entertained if they had just put an FCW show on the air instead of this. Because we're practically getting the same thing.
Well, see, the problem with that is you wouldn't have the marketability of the big names like Chris Jericho and Christian and, well, the rest of them are kind of mid-card. CM Punk, you know, those guys actually being on the show.
Well, those guys go down to the FCW appearances and whatnot. Why couldn't they have taken it there, filmed that, and lead it up to, like, have your first season finale be that these guys have to work in the big arena that we all know they do the SmackDown NXT tapings in the same block. So why not lead up to these guys getting their season finale and their big sort of push into the limelight at the end of it with the big arena and whatnot?
The problem with that is if you're basically just showing FCW is you're putting a lot of guys out there who just might not be ready to make the jump to the roster. And these are the guys the WWE has picked to say, hey, you look like you're ready to make that jump. We're going to give you a run on our rookie show and see if you can make it to either of the big two brands.
I suppose you might have a bit of a point. I still reckon that they could put FCW, like, even if they did focus or even put the same matches out there that they did on NXT just inside the FCW training center or whatever they call it.
Well, a problem you brought up with the show so far in your column was how the show was basically, for the first few matches, more about the pros than they were the rookies.
Yeah, I was definitely leading up to that one. With the tag match in particular, the pros probably got a whole, I don't know, maybe 2-3 minutes at maximum in the ring with each other. Like, I'm talking Slater and Tava going one-on-one. Most of the times that they're in there, it was Slater taking on Carlito, and then you had Christian come in for the finish.
Tarver's the kid from Akron, right?
Maybe
he's the guy with the 1.9 second knock. It never happened.
Well, the kid the guy that's from Akron, Ohio, I know him.
I figured you would.
He used to wrestle under the name of Tyrone Evans in Akron for a bunch of different promotions. UWC, he wrestled for UWC, he wrestled for AIW, I mean, Cleveland All Pro, a bunch of them, and I'm actually kind of glad to see him get his due, here on the NXT.
It's good to see the guys getting out there, but just from what I was having a look at personally, I saw guys that went out there that seemed to have just been thrown in the deep end. There was no real preparation. like, take Tava, for example. The guy in his promo thing is pushing the fact that he's a guy with a 1.9-second knockout punch. Now, when he got in the ring, he basically did probably one whole move to his opponent. You know, if you got something like a 1.9-second punch and you're trying to push that as your gimmick, why not use it? Why not actually try for the punch and then get, you know, rolled up or something?
Because guess who else does a knockout punch?
William Regal.
Exactly. They're not going to allow him to do that, so...
Then why is he trying to push it as his character?
Yeah, for that matter, why isn't William Regal teaching the guy with a power punch?
I think part of it is a lot of these guys are using the gimmicks that they're used to in the indies. And I don't know why WWE is hating on the indies and the internet as much as they are, because quite frankly, without the internet today, WWE isn't nearly as popular in the forefront that it is. So
yeah, that's the whole Daniel Bryan situation. We're pretty much leading up to that one, Spug.
Yeah, we'll get there in a moment.
No, I'm just saying in general, dude.
Well, yeah, and what might be an interesting dynamic is to watch these guys evolve from the gimmicks they're coming into NXT with and maybe sort of take on their WWE possible personas as it goes. I mean, that might be something they do, that might not. But the two guys in the first match, Slater and Tarver, you really didn't see much of. And just out of that, you really couldn't make an opinion of them. Like, Slater, he seems like he's got the charisma to be a high-flying sort of guy that, you know, would look good in your mid-card. But he had, about 2-3 minutes of offense in a tag match?
Yeah, and most of the time he was getting beaten down. But most of the... Like, my personal impressions of Slater was there's something about him that I couldn't pinpoint that sort of just gives me the very generic guy vibe from him. I pointed it out in my column, and I know that Will pointed out in his as well, that we sort of thought it might be his gear is not reflecting the character that he's getting over, which is the one-man rock band. You know, in his promo thing, he's got these real flashy-looking tights and an awesome-looking ring jacket and everything. He makes himself look like a rock star in that promo, but when he comes out with Christian, he's got, you know, very basic thing of maroon tights or something with knee pads and kick pads. You know, that's all right for the indies. Hell, I use it myself in the indies. When you're looking at the grand stage and you're supposed to be learning how to become a superstar, when you've got a guy like Slater who has a very good possibility of doing that based on his charisma and his character alone, why not try and push that on TV?
Yeah, and the problem, like I wrote last night, was just right off the bat, all these guys look generic as hell. The two that really stand out are Darren Young, because he has the most ridiculous hair I've ever seen the side of Scotty Tuhati.
hair would make a Dragon Ball Z artist jealous.
Yeah, and Bryan Danielson, because he looks the most generic out of all of them, and yet it works for him. And yeah. I want to see Slater, you know, really get some of those tights that he had in that package, that jacket worked for him, the long tights worked for him, you know, something to make him stand out. Because as it is, all these guys are wearing the short trunks, knee pads, and nothing else. And it looks plain.
I got asked this pretty much of everybody if you actually caught the show. Take a good look at any promo picture of Darren Young or any picture you see of him on Next, and tell me, am I the only one that thinks that it looks like John Cena with a wig and one hell of a really bad tan?
Now I gotta check.
Because that was the first picture I saw of him. I'm like, that just looks like Cena with a really, really bad tan and a couple
of
inches.
Oh my god, it does! That is John Cena with the Robert Downey Jr. makeup in Tropical Thunder.
Yes.
Holy crap.
Thank you. So I'm not the only one who sees this.
But real quick before we move on to Young.
Well,
and
I was actually going to say, yeah, Young and Otunga.
Well, real quick before we move on to them, yep, I wanted to say regarding Tarver, I think if they're going to push that 1.9 knockout, need to have him knock out a pro. Not a big pro. Have him knock out Matt Hardy.
Yeah, or bring back Kung Fu Naki for a guest spot and have him knock him out.
Uh-huh.
So, somebody that really doesn't have much of an impact. You know, they got to try and find some way to get the character over if he's touting this punch.
Oh, see, you can knock out jobbers left and right. No one's going to give a shit. But when you start knocking out, you know, low to mid-card guys, you're actually going to look like you've got a punch to be reckoned with. And, you know, like I said, knock out someone like Matt Hardy, then we'll have something to look at when it comes to the 1.9.
Exactly. And if he's able to build up that thing, you know, they could always do a final or something of, you know, you've been coming out here saying you've got the punch, rah, rah, rah. Have the Big Show come out and challenge him. You know, sure, the Big Show will make him swallow his own teeth, but, you know, at least it gives the guy some sort of legitimacy.
All right. Who are the other two guys, Young and
Otunga?
Yeah, that guy.
This one really annoyed me because, A, it was a short match that served no purpose. B, the slam that Otunga did was sloppy as fuck. And then you've got pros overshadowing the rookies majorly in this one. CM Punk overshadows him because, well, he's CM Punk. And his little split screen of, why the hell am I here?
I love
really
that.
Really sort of put over the fact that he just doesn't want the guy around. However, I am looking forward to the point where they're going to try and make him shave off that haircut. That's going to be absolutely amazing. But R-Truth's entrance, where he comes out and he's singing his own theme music and everything, that completely overshadowed the rookie.
Yeah,
and that's
the
last thing I want to see out of the promotion.
Yeah, and just watching the match, it did nothing for either guy, and as it is, I don't care for either of them. Next.
Exactly.
What was next was Danielson versus Chris Jericho.
In probably the best 10 minutes of the entire show, to be honest.
Oh my god, if you ever wanted to build someone up real quick, it was Danielson versus Jericho.
Yeah, the match itself was absolutely brilliant. You know, it was what you would expect from somebody of Jericho's caliber and somebody that's been able to adapt his style around opponents like Danielson does. You know, these guys, high spots, chain wrestling, and I'm still trying to work out if Danielson's dive to the outside to Jericho, where he ends up ribs first into the announce table, was either a botch or whether it was planned.
Well, that was the most impressive thing Danielson could have done. Like, no matter how or why they got there, just him coming back, like, it didn't faze him that much, was impressive as hell. Because it said, look, this guy can take a hit and he can keep going.
Yeah, exactly. And despite what they did throughout the entire show of ripping the absolute living crap out of Daniel Bryan for being the so-called internet darling, how the internet fans don't know nothing and, yeah, they wouldn't know what makes a WWE superstar and all this stuff. To have him go out there and impress in a match like this, you know, if you're looking at these guys' future potential, that pretty much looking at Daniel Bryan and going, okay, once this is over, we have to get him, even if you put him with Evan Bourne in a tag team and let those two go at it, you know. There's a good future with him, and a match like that pretty much cemented it, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was a hell of a debut match. And when it comes with what they're doing with Danielson and Miz, and I expect Spug to probably jump in here, I think they're booking it right when it comes to Danielson. You bring him in, You build him up as this unknown sensation. You've got Miz, who's nothing but style over substance, trying to say, well, look, I'm famous, you know nothing. And you get that antagonistic pro with the rookie, who the fans just get right behind every week, waiting to see him just slap the shit out of Miz. And they're going to have Danielson pretty popular, and they can just, in a matter of months, they could throw him onto either SmackDown or Raw, and that guy, if they do it right, could still have that following behind him.
Oh, yeah, well and truly, you know, I won't sort of fault them for their build-up and the way that they've treated Danielson, because all it's done is get him over more and more. You know, it's given him sort of like the Austin back in 98, you know, the whole, the head of the company's against him, but in this case, you've got The Miz, who is a signed pro, plus Stryker, who had a go at him backstage after his first match. After the first segment, sorry. And then you had the Mr. Vintage, Michael Cole, on commentary, ripping the absolute shit out of him on commentary. You've basically got the main points of the company against Daniel Bryan, and the fact that he keeps coming back against them is what's getting him over with that WWE crowd. You know, despite the fact that he's already over with all the quote-unquote internet mucks.
Well, you know, it works for Miz, and Stryker isn't as bad as... I mean, he was like, you may be from the indies, but, you know, you're still good. But Cole just comes off more as a douchebag than he ever has.
Cole is a moron.
Pretty much. But, yeah, last... sort of a last thoughts on Next as a whole. It's an interesting concept. I think that the first show was more of along the lines of a first show jitters, where even the guys aren't sure what's happening yet. I heard that they do incorporate some sort of backstage segments where the pros are either coaching their guys, helping them celebrate after a win, or giving them a verbal beating after they lose. You know, something to build up the relationship between them, but at the same time, they've got to remember that they've also got to get these young guys and their characters over, not just here, have a match. You wanted to do that, you might as well have just kept them in FCW. But it's something I reckon people should check out and give it a chance. And yeah, as long as, like, they're planning 3 or 4 seasons of this year, so it's not like, check it out. Have a think about it. Get behind the guys that you want to get behind. And just pray that they keep putting on some good matches. Will?
Yeah, I agree that there needs to be more backstage stuff that actually shows these guys being mentored. I mean, they've got it already with Miz and Danielson. They just need to do it with everyone else. Like, Carlito should just berate Tarver for their loss last Tuesday, but we'll see where it goes. But it's definitely something to check out. One, if you just love Bryan Danielson, because it's the Bryan Danielson show, and two, just to see, you know, what kind of guys that the WWE may be bringing up to the roster.
Well, the only thing I can say about WWE NXT, if you haven't watched it, check it out. It might be your cup of tea. It might not be. But I don't get it. You know, Bryan Danielson teamed up with The Miz, and the rookie is Danielson, or Daniel Bryan, whatever they want to call him. And the pro is The Miz. They're going to give him hooking up a rookie who has 10 times more knowledge and experience than the pro that's supposed to be training him. This is what I get from WWE NXT. I don't know about that, folks. Anyway, you'll listen to WTR Sunday night. We're coming up against the clock real, real hard here. We're going to take our final time out of the evening. We're going to come back with a few quick hits right on the other side of our next little timeout. Everybody, don't go anywhere. Stick around. We're going to have a little fun to end the show. We'll be back right after this. Your life. Yeah, we are wild.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present. Such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling.
www.audiowrestling.com.
And check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling.
Keeping you tuned in.
Since 1996.
Hey, it's Nick Anthony from OWW Radio, and I want you to join me Tuesdays for the most opinionated wrestling talk on the internet. We mix in current events and news from all over the world. It's nonstop opinionated wrestling news talk. It is OWW Radio at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Write it down. OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. That's the site known around the world, man. That's via the largest wrestling database worldwide, even in Canada. Come on, I'm just joking. But listen to OWW Radio with features like This Week in Wrestling History, where we make mention of all things that happened this week in wrestling history. Can you imagine it? Plus, the Match of the Week and OWW Jeopardy. That's where we test your wrestling knowledge. It's just like Jeopardy without Alex Trebek. We got interviews. Just recently, we interviewed Bret the Hitman Hart. Excuse me. I said Bret the Hitman Hart. OWW Radio at Online, worldofwrestling.com. Also, clickwrestle.com and YouTube. We're there too, OWW Radio. And subscribe, slap nuts to us at the iTunes Store. OWW Radio is on Twitter, and we have Facebook also. OWW Radio, man, where fans and legends come together.
Do you have a business that you are looking to take online but have no idea what an HTML or a JPEG is? Do you currently have a website that is in need of an overhaul? Or do you have a website that needs updating but you don't have the time to do so? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then you need to check out WTRProductions.tk, where you can get quality web design and management at an affordable rate. Looking to get the lowdown on all the services we offer? Then shoot us off an email by checking out our contact section so that we can help you get started building your online home. WTR Productions. High quality work for an affordable rate. Built the way you want. Located at www.wtrproductions.tk.
Get ready to get sinful Thursday nights here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey, honey, take a walk on the wild side.
Join our own Cindy Sin.
She's a babe.
As she opens up and talks about anything.
Anything.
And everything on her mind.
You can ignore me if you try.
Nothing is taboo. From sex talk to food to sexy cars, clothes, you name it.
Hi there, big boy.
Do I make you horny?
Oh my God.
Anything goes. You can get in on the fun and ask Cindy about anything at all.
She tested very high on the stroke ability scale.
By calling in during the show.
Thank you for calling.
Anything goes, Thursdays at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Oh, I'm a biatch, baby.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
Do you want to get high? Does everybody want to
Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Wrest Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Hey, 17 minutes past the hour. What hour it is? Well, you figure it out in your own goddamn time zone, because that's just the way the internet works. Had some really good talks tonight, some pretty good discussion. Hit up on WWE NXT, had a quick chat about what we can possibly expect for WrestleMania. And, of course, we also talked about the WWE Future Endeavored list for this past week, when we're figuring out there's probably going to be more added to it before the week's out. But right now, time for us to get into some quick hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk for you quick hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
And here we go with some quick hits. Yeah, you heard in the intro, a couple of quick questions, a couple of quick answers, and yeah, it's almost 12:30 Eastern. Maybe we'll be done before Randy's obligatory 12:30 p.m. Eastern phone call, guys. So if we rush this,
nah, he used it up last night.
Oh, he called last night. You spent an hour on the phone calling his buddy nigga, talking about the cops showing up, shit like that. CB radio. You never know who's going to drunk dial next.
Get the fuck back, nigga, the cops.
So anyway, jumping into quick hits. Spug, you're up first. Here's your first question. If you could own one piece of wrestling memorabilia, what would it be and why?
One piece of wrestling memorabilia?
Yes, ma'am.
I want a section of the cage from the Ric Flair Dusty Rhodes cage match. From the 1972 or 73, but it was the title match where Dusty had dropped the title back to Rick, and the Horsemen came out and beat the crap out of Dusty, and Arn Anderson accidentally broke Dusty's arm in the cage. It was probably one of the bloodiest cage matches I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, Omega says you probably just want the part of the cage with the blood on it so you can clone Flair.
No, but I just... that was probably... And Tim, I'm pretty sure you know what I'm talking about. That was probably one of the most gruesome and bloody cage matches I've ever seen, and probably one of the best matches, period.
It ranks right up there with one of the all-time classics, absolutely for sure. Will, your turn. What are three reasons why The Miz is a future WWE main eventer?
I never said he was main event worthy, but... damn, I never considered him actually, you know, being that successful. He's good on the mic. He knows how to get heat. And he's got three championship belts.
A little weak, but okay, we'll let you go with that one. Omega, this is kind of interesting. Both of your questions are going to be kind of fun tonight. Not just one of them, but both of them. Here's your first one. What wrestler would you be surprised to find out smoked dope? Don't go with the obvious one.
I'm not going with any obvious one. The obvious one isn't funny. Jeez. Oh god, there are so many here. Let me hear.
It'd be easier just to name one that doesn't smoke.
Oh yeah, well the obvious one is CM Punk.
Uh huh.
Of course. But that's not funny.
No, that's not funny.
I'd be surprised if it was The Undertaker. Though that would explain how slow he moves to the ring.
Except for when you light a fire under his ass.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay.
Pyro Man tried to light him like a joint.
Undertaker smoking the bong. Look out, Michelle McTaker. Go to the store and get some Twinkies. Mace, what do you think the topic of conversation might be if you were to spy on a quote high unquote conversation between Kennedy and Orton?
What would the topic of conversation be? So basically you're saying both men are blitzed out of their minds. Topic of conversation. To be honest, I don't think they'd be having a conversation. They'd be basically sitting around stroking each other's quote-unquote egos, if you know what I mean.
Well, here I thought the topic of discussion might be Randy saying, you're not allowed to shit in somebody's bag, that's my job, do it again and I'll fire you, or I'll get you fired.
No, I could actually just see them both sitting there just, I don't know, maybe some butthead or something.
Okay, just being absolutely gross.
I don't think they really would have any type of conversation between them.
Okay, there we go. Spud, your question number two is the following. Which wrestler would you like to get high with?
Would I like them? I would like to get high with Flair.
Woo!
Have you read that man's book?
No.
Yes.
Dude, him and Piper and Arn, those guys have got stories. I'm telling you what. I would get high with Flair because somebody'd get arrested, somebody'd get beat up, and I guarantee I'd remember it for a lifetime.
Well, like Omega says in the production chat, wouldn't it be interesting to see what the Munchies do to Mark Henry?
I don't think there's enough KFCs.
He doesn't need to get stoned, man. That's just it. Mark Henry and the Munchies. Will, name five WWE wrestlers known for toking up.
RVD, Sabu, Jim Duggan, The Iron Sheik. Wait, do these have to be current?
No, five WWE wrestlers, man.
Jeff Hardy.
Okay, that's a little easy. Next time we'll do 10. Omega, your turn.
Uh-huh. Oh, no.
If RVD went to TNA, who would be in the car with him when he gets busted by Florida State? And you can't pick Jeff Hardy.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Just take away the obvious right there, man. So who does RVD get busted with by the Florida State troopers in the car on the way to a show?
Ric Flair.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. Who is the one? Who's the one? God, let's see if I can remember enough of the TNA roster here.
I like Tony's answer in the chat room.
You know what? I know who it'd be. It'd be Rhino.
Rhino?
That's
or
who
Raven.
I'm surprised Scott Hall didn't just fly right off your lips.
No. Scott Hall in a car? No.
No. You don't want to mix those two.
Nobody thought of Desmond Wolf.
Wow.
Not really.
Okay, Mace, this last one for you, this is sort of fill in the blank or complete this, if you're ready.
Okay.
If Ken Anderson moved to Australia to start a promotion and offered to build it around you, you would blank.
Can you repeat the question because you dropped out?
If Ken Anderson moved to Australia and started a promotion and offered to build it around you, you would blank.
Kick him in the nuts really hard because Australian wrestling is dead.
Okay, well, I wasn't expecting that, but good enough.
Really? You didn't expect him somehow harming Anderson?
Well, yeah, no, but I didn't expect him to kick him in the nuts because Aussie wrestling was dead. I expect him to kick him in the nuts because he's a shitty fucking wrestler.
No, I kick him in the nuts because Aussie wrestling is dead, and anybody trying to start a promotion is going to have a real hard time getting it off the ground these days. And anybody who tries that type of business deal, even somebody of Kennedy's quote-unquote intelligence,
just not going to fly. Well, there it is, everybody. WTR's quick hits for this week. Now it's time to let Spug go off on whatever he wants to go off for a whole 2 minutes. Spug, you're on the clock. If you're ready, the timer begins now.
So I'm at work today, and I have my phone set to receive updates during the United States-Canada gold medal game because the Olympic hockey game was not played on the radio. I get an update when Canada scores their first goal, and the picture is not of Canada scoring their first goal, but a woman sitting behind the American bench. And she's wearing an old Canadian Olympic hockey team jersey with what looks to be Wayne Gretzky's number on it. And she has a sign that says, "Hockey is Canada's game. Go home, United States." This type of country pride I can support because the Americans do the same thing. But I tell you what is not acceptable is the Canadians, the Americans, or any other fan base, in the Olympics or otherwise, booing the opposing team's players when they come out onto the ice, field, so on and so forth. Listen, people, have some goddamn class and courtesy and respect. These are the best in the world, competing not for money, not for a bigger contract, and not to move to a better city with nicer weather. These are people competing for what should be every athlete's goal, is country pride. They're competing for a medal. They're competing for you, the citizens and denizens of their home countries. So don't boo them. Cheer them, respect them, and enjoy the game for what it is. Next time you boo them, perhaps you should look in on yourself and wonder if you have the right country pride. Because I guarantee you don't, or you wouldn't be booing the opposing teams or your own team when they screw up, you fucking idiots. Last time I checked, the Olympics were about unity. The five rings represent certain elements of basic human decency, unity, respect, all those things that make up the Olympic Games. So while you're booing opposing teams, while you're booing opposing athletes of your country, your rivals, remember one thing. They are the best in the world at what they do, no matter the sport, no matter the country.
Okay, there you go. There's Spug's 2 minute timeout right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, I just want to touch on what some people may have perceived as boos in Vancouver during the Olympics, especially when Team Canada was on the ice for any reason. Here's the thing. It sounds like boo, but they're not saying boo. They're saying Lou, as in Luongo, as in Roberto Luongo, as in the goaltender for the Vancouver Canucks. And now anytime Roberto Luongo touches the ice, picks his nose in public, makes a routine save, all of the Vancouver Canucks fans, they all go, "Lou," you know, for Luongo. And I just wanted to clarify that Spike's talking about the idiots who just booby their assholes. He's not talking about the fans there that were saying "Lou" every time they saw Roberto Luongo.
No, because the Cleveland Indians have the same thing.
Yeah,
we have a player on our team named Sinsu Chu, and when he comes out onto the field, the entire crowd chants "Chew." So it sounds like boo. No, I get that. I could differentiate between Lou and Boo.
Yeah. I just wanted to point that out because watching the Olympics, it sure seemed like the crowd was booing when they were actually looing. And there were people who actually took a shot over, you know, what they thought were boos that were actually loos. If that makes any sense.
Let's get the hell out.
There you go. Yeah, so everybody, next Sunday night, it's the Oscars. And like anybody else, we're not taking the night off. We're actually going to be coming back, and we're going to be doing a show from 10 to midnight Eastern time, just like we do every normal non-pay-per-view night. But next week, we're going to have a little bit of fun. What we're going to do, we're going to be taking a look at some Oscar-style award handing out next week. We're going to be best performance in a main event. We'll do best entrance, the best villain, and the best event.
Can we not do best entrance?
Why? Oh, that's why. Well, we'll talk about that. Won't let that cat out of the bag. But we could be talking about like best entrance for tomorrow night. There you go. I just said. Anyway, so there it is, everybody. WTR Sunday night for this week. Thanks for tuning in and paying attention, sticking around for as long as you did. Don't forget, doing it again next week, 10 to midnight Eastern time, with more fun and mayhem and another rant. Who's going to get the chance to go ballistic for 2 minutes? You'll find out when you tune in next week right here, Wild Talk Radio, www.wildtalkradio.com. On behalf of myself, I think that I can speak for all Canadians when I say, yeah, fucking who, we won the gold medal in hockey. Will, your final words?
I got nothing.
Okay. Omega, your final words?
I really don't have anything other than to whoever marries Ric Flair next, invest in a face mask.
There you go. Mace.
I'm guessing you're asking my final thoughts?
Yeah.
No, we're asking your opening thoughts, asshole.
I should have the second edition of From the Minor Mace up this week, explaining the difference between faked and staged in professional wrestling.
Oh.
Keep an eye out on the website for that.
There you go. Spud.
Fuck Mav. My wife's going to get hers. I'm out.
There you go. And referring to Spug's rant there a couple of minutes ago, Punk Rock Kid in the chat room, Book Canada. Yeah, real fucking mature, okay? Spug just kind of sort of went over something like that. No, fuck Canada, no fuck USA, no fuck any country. Congratulations to all the countries that participated in the Olympics. All of the athletes did their countries proud, and we all have a right to feel a little bit of patriotism and nationality, at least for another week. Everybody, have yourselves a great week. We'll talk to you next weekend.
Buy the shirt.
Fuck me up.
I'm getting laid, bitches!
You've been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.